All right, so here we are with our panel discussion on the Ilona Show today. Earlier, we took a look at Obama's 1 year in office from an ordinary person's point of view, a supporter who drank the Kool-Aid and now has a hangover. But let's really break it down, issue by issue, promise by promise. Where has Obama succeeded? Where has he failed? And again, I will ask, has he changed America or has it changed him? Well, here to discuss it with me, I have Christina Bellantoni from Talking Points Memo, Anthony Randazzo from Reason.com, and joining us again, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, former Chief of Staff to Colin Powell. You guys want to thank you all for being here. Now, first, I had you do a little art project. I'll let the audience know while you're waiting to come out. I want to know what you drew of Obama 1 year ago and Obama now. Please, I guess one by one. Let's see it.
All right. Well, I'm not an artist. My words are my my business. But I started with, I just thought, really, Inauguration Day, President Obama was on top of the world. You know, here's him standing. He had the world kind of united behind him. He had global support, record high approval ratings. Everybody was saying, yes, we can. And now it's sort of like the balloon has popped. There's a little... you know, the air is out of the balloon.
Yeah, seeping out of it.
That's air.
Okay.
And I think the people, they still want to be there with him, but they're confused. They don't exactly understand why, you know, he's lost some of that traction that he had. They don't understand exactly why they're frustrated with him, because they still, they see that he's trying. You know, a lot of people will talk about they want to give him, you know, good marks for effort, but he isn't necessarily getting there. So that's what I wanted to capture with mine.
Anthony, please go ahead.
Okay. Well, I drew sort of a mixed economic picture. And again, not an artist, so I used a graph as part of the sort of economic trade here. So when Obama took office, you got unemployment at 7.6%. It's getting worse coming into office. It's definitely sort of an issue that he's inherited. But since then, given all the economic plans that have been put into place that both he has advocated in the Democratic Congress, unemployment is now worse. And so it's dropped like a rock. And in contrast, we have, this is sort of the Dow. Basically, a year ago is about 7,600, and it's risen 25% after dropping. So it's, why is the Dow higher now than, and why has unemployment gotten worse? Because you would assume that if Wall Street's getting better, that the economy should be getting better, but it's not. And it's because all of these supports that the banking industry has, that has fed confidence into people investing, have not trickled out to the rest of the economy, because it's all sort of fake. It's this sense of this recovery is not really real. Housing issues have not been worked out at all. Any growth that we've really had in the economy, in the third quarter, about 90% of the growth was due to government supports as opposed to actual growth in the real economy. You don't have money trickling out from banks into the real economy, so you don't have people being hired. And until housing gets sorted out, you're not going to have banking sorted out. Until banking sorted out, you're not going to have money going to small businesses.
All right, very economic point of view there. I like it. Colonel Wilkerson, please show us your picture.
Mine is sunrise, sunset. It's early, I know, only a year into a presidency, in George W. Bush's presidency or George Herbert Walker Bush's presidency, both of which I served in. The first year, and I watched Bill Clinton's first year too, the first year is usually tumultuous. You get all these promises you've made have to be fulfilled and so forth. You fulfill very few of them. So the first year is not one to judge a president on. I agree, however, that from an economic, financial point of view, this president is headed out. He'll be a one-term president. We're not headed, we aren't coming up the other side of the V, as it were. We are headed into the other side of the W. And the other side of the W is going to be much deeper and longer than the first part. I think we've got a long haul, and we have every potential to look like Japan in a deflated, stagnated way where we aren't doing anything of consequence for a long time. And I don't see any president being able to survive that.
So we think that the economy is still going to be issue number one for Barack Obama. Is that what we're saying? That's probably where he really doesn't make the cut. But is this his fault? I mean, You know, everyone is saying he avoided another Great Depression, and yes, we're in a Great Recession. Has he just been putting off another depression, like you're saying? Like, we're not even close to what's coming, the worst of it yet? Or will we possibly be booming again in 2012?
Well, and will the stimulus program work? I mean, right now you've got Americans are very frustrated with what they see as government spending and bailouts for banks. But actually, you know, if the stimulus program can create the jobs that they've said it would create in the time that they said that they would create them, you might actually start to see things get a little bit better. And that's why you're hearing the Democrats talk about health care so much, too, of if this can get passed and they can campaign on it and it'll work and everybody can be happy, well, then things can start to rise up. But logistically, who knows if that'll happen.
Yeah, the economy really is a big issue because every other issue is being framed in that way. We're talking about health care in economic terms. If cap and trade actually gets brought up in the Senate or is redealt with in the House, that's going to be spoken about in economic terms. We talk about green jobs in economic terms. Where the economy goes, so goes pretty much every other issue and how and sort of how we talk about it. To get to sort of like your question, is some of this his fault? You know, how much of this did he inherit? He inherited a lot. And you had 6 years of the Republicans controlling Congress and spending out of their minds, the Democrats coming into Congress in 2006, presidents now in Congress now. You've got policies from both parties, and what they've been doing is they've been saying, we think we can fix this with our solutions, with our policies. We can try to modify people's mortgages, and you've got these home mortgage refinance plans, which are very well intended. They're not working. 50% of the people that have had their mortgages refinanced through a special program by the government have gone back into foreclosure. We aren't really solving the problem. We're actually pushing a lot of stuff off. Whether or not we go into an actual W, there's some question, but it's definitely not looking good at all.
Interesting you say everything is tied to the economy. And the worse our economy is, the more we seem to spend on our military. How is that going to factor into Barack Obama after this 1 year? How much he has escalated this war, the entire, the resources he's put into it, the money, the troops that he's sent out. How is that going
to
look?
I think that's getting ready to change big time, and I know Bob Gates is well aware of that, and I know my Army, Marine Corps, your Army, Marine Corps, they're all aware of that. They're biting their fingernails right now at the draconian cuts that are to come. They're working hard, for example. They're the lead agency in the government on studying conservation, energy conservation, and studying alternative sources of energy, because right now fuel is just ripping them up, the cost, and the Japanese are getting ready to stop paying for a lot of the fuel. Fuel costs are not going down again, they're just going to go up slowly but surely, and the Army and the Marine Corps and the Air Force in particular, the Navy is a little bit better off because of nuclear power, but they're looking at it being the biggest cost of operations right now. People used to be, health care used to be, now fuel is becoming. So they're leading the government for self-interest in those senses. They need to save money. I think there are some huge cuts coming, and there's a silver lining here in that regard, because we're going to be out of Afghanistan and out of Iraq substantially, not completely, but substantially, because of the fiscal crisis in 24 months or thereabouts, I think.
Because we simply will be stretched too thin. And are you saying that these cuts will be coming in this new budget that they're going to unveil on February 1st?
They're going to show a budget that looks like stasis. It looks like they've leveled off. But they know what's coming after that, because they've been told. Office of Management and Budget and others from the White House have told them what to expect. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, has put it out. You're not going to get these trillion-dollar budgets anymore. And you're not going to get these huge supplementals that aren't under the normal oversight process. They're going to have to go back to the budget, appropriated budget, and it's going to be quite a bit less.
And the first year of Obama's presidency was really a lot of triage from what was left over from the Bush administration, too, of the way that they had to fund the wars through the supplemental. So now they're kind of getting to the fix on that.
All right. And now let's say the attempted bombing on Christmas Day hadn't happened. Would the war on terror still be such a fixation of the Obama administration after this 1 year mark?
If the bombing had happened?
If it hadn't happened at all. If there was never this fluke and there hadn't been the scare hysteria hadn't spread again, would the attention also have slowly started to drift away?
I mean, we have a very short attention span as a country. But I think terrorism, as long as we're still engaged in two wars, is going to be an issue in the American people's minds. Whether or not there's the hysteria that we have right now and sort of the intensity with which people now are looking at TSA, the TSA nominee is not going to resign if the bombing doesn't happen, or the attempted bombing doesn't happen, because you're not going to have the political pressure there at all. But it's not going to go away as an issue, especially as long as we're sort of engaged overseas.
And Guantanamo Bay, too, being like a big political issue, I think that was going to remain on the forefront regardless of what happened on Christmas.
Especially considering tomorrow is the day. Also, let's look at this election yesterday in Massachusetts. This was a huge upset, a huge loss for the Democrats. A lot of people said, I told you so. You guys didn't even try on this campaign. You just assumed that you were going to hold on to that Kennedy seat. But is this also a referendum on Obama? Do those people in Massachusetts really reflect the feelings of the entire nation?
Well, I actually think it's more of a referendum on Congress than anything else.
On government as a whole.
I mean, Washington in general, but a lot of these things that have been going on, and you can maybe criticize the president for not having a little bit more forceful leadership on these big agenda items that he's put forth, but healthcare and Wall Street reform and cap and trade, all these issues have been dragged out, not so much exactly by Obama, but by Congress itself. And so you get these bickering back and forth between different parts of Congress. Congress wants to spend money on this, Congress wants to spend money on that. This sort of Tea Party's populist uprising, in a lot of respects, people are upset at Obama, but what are a lot of those people saying? Kick 100% of all 535 members of Congress out of office. And so I think it's more of a pushback on those 535 or 534 more than Obama.
If only they could do that. Okay, really quick, though.
What I'd like to know is how this genius Rahm Emanuel let this happen. Rahm Emanuel is supposed to be the guy on top of the Congress, on top of issues like this, and he let it sneak up on the president to the point where the president, in desperation, had to make a trip at the last minute. Rahm Emanuel should be held to account for this, too. I wonder how he failed so badly.
Okay, well, so then who's the number one person that's going to suffer when, you know, perhaps cap and trade, even health care, immigration reform, when they don't get passed, or if they don't get passed in the next year?
They have to show some results. Obama. I mean, Obama will suffer if he does not show results.
I think it's going to be Harry Reid in particular, and even Nancy Pelosi to some degree, the leaders of Congress right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've been alive for 65 years and sentient for about 50. I've never seen such a feckless Congress in my life.
All right, you guys, I'm sorry, I got to cut you off, but great talking to you all. Thanks you for being here. That's it for today's show, you guys. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to come back tomorrow night.